Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Cole Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocky Cesar Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe
and support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it.
Support Ollie. Support me. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because we talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, support the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello, and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
Oh, I've been through the ringer, Luke.
Oh, mate, what a week you've had.
Ups and downs.
Yep.
Simon Miller needs to do a video on my life this week. It was a bit of an existential crisis on the Tuesday Raw review episode.
I think people heard it on the Raw podcast that we did.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you felt like you were going raw at one point with your feelings and emotions. Had a lot of outpouring of love for you over the last few days.
That's been really nice. And for the channel in general. Thank you ever so much to everyone who's tweeted or emailed or commented nice things.
Because Ollie was having a sad...
Oh, yeah. I even threw in that. I'm not trying to tug on anyone's heartstrings.
To be honest, my heart broke ever so slightly watching your video yesterday when you said, when my failed format video on Monday, and it was a failure, I was like, oh, that's such a shame.
A failure in that way. Like, I think it's a really good... But I'm glad we did it. I had no idea that everyone missed the four-minute review so much, because to us, we didn't really change anything. It's still the same length of review, really. We just got rid of the timer, and we chucked a news episode at the end to make it 10 minutes long, because that's better for the YouTube monies.
And algorithms.
And yeah, like a few people said, oh, I missed that. I don't think everyone knew how much they missed it either until I was like, here's a 20-minute review! None of the dynamic stuff on.
You can't always just, like, press stop, though.
Oh, yeah, but that was like a format was gone. Something was taken away. And that I started to look at the trends. You know, we've had this sort of subscriber drop-off. Not drop-off, but the rate of growth has plateaued since April. And I always thought, well, that's WrestleMania. That's typically the biggest season. It's ended. We launched Screen Stalker. Probably there's a lot we're promoting at the moment. I never thought... That's when we stopped doing five-minute videos.
Yeah, we were up until that point, we were still doing two videos a day.
Yeah, well, we were doing only on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Doing two videos?
Yeah, because we would do the, I think,
that's right. Yes,
Mondays,
we'd start
Thursdays,
doing,
and
yes.
Fridays were Super News episodes.
I remember doing two news episodes up until November at the very least, because I remember doing the Saudi Arabia thing. Last year with the original Crown Jewel.
Mid October was when we stopped. Like, we started doing 10-minute
videos.
But it's good because now, you know, we brought that back today with your AEW review went really well. Informant. Put your face on the thumbnail.
I did, which I was very, very nervous about. I was talking to my wife about this and my brother over the weekend, where I was like, Ollie's got this plan. Like, Ollie wants us to change the format of the reviews. He wants it unscripted, which I'm not like, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. He wants it on the ramble set, so it's not against the green screen. And then he wants our faces on the thumbnail. Do I really want to find out that I've got a face that no one wants to click? Like, is that a bit of a, you know, that's a worrisome then, because that then gives you all the ammunition you need to be like, probably shouldn't put him on videos then, really, should we?
No, we'll just put my face on those videos. We can super it like a Christian's blue dot. It'll just be an Ollie. No, but real talk. So I pulled a muscle last night when I was doing pull-ups.
Where did you pull this muscle?
It's in my neck.
Ow!
I don't know if you've noticed that I am walking around with very limited mobility today.
I haven't noticed, I'll be honest.
So, like, this is my... Do you notice now that
Now that you've said it, yeah, I have. You are moving like Kurt Angle.
Yeah. With the sort of slight knees bent.
Slight hunch.
And I do it, you know, I don't want to brag. I do a lot of pull-ups. I have a weight belt that hangs off me with more weight because I'm so good at pull-ups. My own body is not enough to pull up anymore.
Just so we're all aware, Andy Dasson has not walked into the room. This is still Oliver Davis.
I'm great at pull-ups. And I did it, you know, done this a million times. But in my rest time, where I'm usually focusing on the next rep, I was checking the comments.
You were...
Never do that.
Oh, no.
Because I have fallen hard this week back into just refreshing YouTube, getting those adrenaline hits, which are never quite enough. I'm sure a lot of people get it with social media. I get it with the YouTube back end. I'm like, all views, all comments. They're never good enough.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
And the worst ones are always really hurtful.
Those are the ones that stick with you.
Yeah, and you know, I always say, oh, you just got to let it slide off you. Because genuinely, that's been my life for a year. I'm very good at dealing with it. This week, it's tormented me. And I thought the pain would go away. Woke up this morning. I slept terribly because I would keep waking up because of when I move, the pain would be too much. I booked in an emergency thing this morning to get it massaged and stuff. And I went to see the guy, who's the guy I train with a lot. And he took one look at me and he went, "You're right, mate." And I went, Yeah, it's here, it's on my neck. And he went, "Yeah, I can see the right part of your neck." I was like, "Yeah, oh yeah, it is," because I hadn't pointed at it yet. Mm. And he went, "Is everything okay at work?" And I was like, "Well, it's, you know, it's a challenging time at the moment, sort of going back to basics and everything." And then he said, "Because that part of your body where you carry tension is sort of linked," and he said something about the warrior spirit and that being on the right hand. He gave me a lot of stuff that I don't necessarily believe in, but it was totally right. So that was creepy. And then my massage turned into a half hour sort of therapy session.
Oh mate.
Because his business failed earlier this year.
Oh right. Okay.
So we just sort of spoke back and forth, and I'm now so, you know, like when people get ill and when people get injuries, when everything's going bad around them or they're really, really stressed. This is the physical manifestation of the stress of this week, I believe.
Bloody hell.
I know.
Mate, I feel really bad for you as well, because you do carry a lot of the weight up on your shoulder.
It's literally on my shoulders.
It's literally on your shoulders.
It's on my neck.
And it's affecting your pull-up game.
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't work out. I won't be able to work out until next week, middle of next week now. This is an acute muscle pull.
Crikey. What are you going to do with yourself?
I am going to lay down and watch Succession. It's quite a nice... I don't have to train.
What are you currently training for? Is this just brackets,
get a hot
general.
Bod. Hot bod mainly. No, you did train against yourself.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
I've got certain weights I can lift, and I always want to lift more. Never happy.
Like a good wrestler, you're never happy with your match. On the subject of real talk, I had this email in from Aaron who said, "Hey, Luke, was listening to you and Ollie, try that again, yours and Ollie's review of Raw, and you called Rusev a..." I won't say the word again.
Uh-oh.
"At least that's what I thought you said. Just wanted to let you know that in the US, that is a racial slur against Hispanics. I can tell it's not what you meant, but a lot of people may find it offensive. Hope the rest of your night goes well. P.S. When are you, Pete and Laurie, starting a D&D podcast?" Well, the answer to your second question is that I don't know. The first one is, yeah, that's something I did want to apologize for. I apologize on the YouTube version of the show as well. Completely was not my intention. Mm. I didn't know it was a racial slur.
We spoke about it today in the office.
Yeah.
Only Simon knew it was a thing.
Yes.
Well, like, none of us had ever heard of this.
It's certainly not here in the United Kingdom. I didn't know, but ignorance is not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2019. I probably should know. And
well, you can't possibly, I understand where you're coming from. You can't possibly know every offensive slur, and that list changes almost daily.
Perhaps, yes.
So, yeah, I might say
my ignorance is not an excuse.
Mm. You know it's bad, so you know.
I know it's bad.
It
yeah.
Now we're all
I
educated.
Was just saying, yeah. He was a wet blanket. It's what we used to say. We actually used to use that phrase to say that you're a bit wet behind the ears, or just, you know, a bit of a wet blanket. So, yeah. I didn't know, and I'm very sorry if anyone was offended by what I said. I felt very bad about it because I found out, because I was scrolling through comments on Tuesday after I'd recorded my hashtag other podcast project. And so I was riding a high off my hashtag other podcast project.
It's always the way you crash hard.
Crash
it's almost like
hard
your brain is looking.
And I look and I saw the comments. And I was like, oh no. Oh dear. What have
oh,
I done?
No, I'm
and
racist.
I didn't. I just scrolled through. I was like, oh, there's another one. There's another one. Oh, dearie me. So I got home and my wife was still up and she was like, oh, brilliant. It's so nice to have you here. And I was like, I can't talk right now. I grabbed my laptop and I was like, I need to post something now. I need to do something about this right now. Otherwise, we're not sleeping.
Did you write a statement in notes on your phone and then tweet that out? The best way to apologize for things.
I didn't do it that way. No, I just let my YouTube. But no one tweeted me about it. If someone had tweeted me about it, I would have addressed it on there.
Well, I'll take a bit of responsibility of that. I mean, that's the last time I get Hulk Hogan in to do sensitivity training. All he said was just check none of the recording equipment was on.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's why we failed.
Anyway, let's get into the show itself. We're talking about AEW, of course, and we're going to be talking about the Lucha Brothers and why we think they should win the AEW Tag Team Championships.
Because they're the best!
Here's the show.
Had its issues. Second episode. Brilliant. I thought that was the upper end of the great shows they can do. Last week's episode, loved it.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as the second episode, but I loved it. So refreshing, flew by. This week's episode, flawless.
So good. Great episode.
Absolutely incredible. I loved it. Actually, it's not flawless. There was one moment where they cut to a fan's reaction in the crowd when they should have stayed on the action.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from that... we should have led with that in the thumbnail. AEW ruins TV production. It's just a T-shirt company, Red Circle, Arrow. Whoever's doing the production, I've forgotten his name. It's Kevin Sullivan?
Kevin Sullivan, yes. Do we want to... actually, speaking of being a T-shirt company, do we want to give a quick shout-out to the T-shirts that we got sent today?
Give it a super quick party.
So we got sent these T-shirts by Adam Mayhem, who is wrestling out in a promotion in Korea at the moment, who, quote-unquote, borrowed our Super Click Party gimmick for their new tag team and faction.
So we're spreading inspiration. We are muses.
Yeah.
We will send cease and desists soon.
Obviously,
and you can make a cease and desist version of that shirt.
Absolutely. And also, before we get on, I got a message from my mother yesterday, who said that she left a comment on the Facebook version of this live stream, because we're live on various different platforms, including Facebook. And because my mum is, you know, a mum, she's on Facebook watching it.
I was going to say, Facebook is now the mum medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, she goes, I left a comment and I didn't get a shout out. And I was like, oh, we haven't got any moderators over on Facebook. And I was like, and also, it's only people that get that pay to get the shout outs get them. And mum was like, I mean, I want to support, but I'm not paying for it. I was like, it's all right, mum. I'll just give you a shout out on the stream at the top of the hour anyway.
I feel on edge that your mum's watching. It just rules out all the mum jokes. Not that I was gonna make any of them, but I like that opportunity to be there.
You want
there
the option,
rises.
Just in case.
Right. So, speaking of things that are rising, my libido for the tag division in AEW. There were three tag matches on this episode, each one brilliant in their own way. And it opened, cold open, no AEW title sequence, which I love.
Yeah, I love that title sequence.
But yeah, cold open, everyone's already in the ring. You've got Private Party and the Lucha Bros. I loved everything about this match. Actually, that's a lie. So this is the semi-final for the tag team tournament to crown the best tag team World Cup winner in the world inaugural. And the match starts, and it's Mark Quinn.
Mark Quinn.
Quinn.
Yeah.
The Quinn.
The
Quinn of England. So Mark Quinn, he does a sort of international sequence where he runs the ropes, and then Phoenix lies down on his front, and he sort of misplaces his feet, and he just does this awkward step thing over him, like he's thinking about doing a wrestling move as opposed to being an actual wrestler. And I was like, and it was the first sequence of the match, and I thought, Private Party are really green. You know, they've come out of nowhere. They've excelled so far. They beat the Young Bucks, but like, yeah, they are pretty green. Oh, well. And then they just blew me away spot after spot. There are so many inventive spots that I've never seen before in this match. And all I was left with at the start, at the end of it, was how can they remember them all?
They're so brave.
I stopped it and I was like, I can't remember all the spots.
No.
How do you even memorize where to be? There's four people. That's a logistical nightmare. Some of the stuff they're doing is so complicated, so athletically demanding. And they not only did it all flawlessly, apart from that, the easiest move of the match, which was stepping over someone's prone body.
Yeah.
And remembered it. I just blew my mind.
I absolutely loved this match. It was just sensational throughout. I have seen online there's been sort of like a split opinion on
really?
The match. There are those who are like you and I that were just like, oh my God, it was absolutely amazing. Loved every spot, loved every near fall. Totally bought into various different near falls as well. And I was just popping all over the place. And the other side that was just like, it's just spots. There's no story.
Man, there was very little story.
But I would say that, well, I think what's great about the match is that neither camp is wrong. Like, it was just like spots and there was no story. But you cannot deny that the crowd was super into this match. So whatever they were doing totally worked.
Well, that's it. Like, if you are taking wrestling as a more sports orientated thing, which I think is the mentality of those people who say, but there was no story there. You know, like, if you say, but where was the story in the match? It was just a spot fest. Those people, I would argue, tend to fall into, they like the more sports-based approach to wrestling. When you actually watch sports, you don't end a match or a fight going, well, there was no story there, was there?
No.
It was just a load of, you know, exciting knockouts or goals. If you really are, like, not every single match, especially on your TV, has to have a story. Some are just going to be people wrestling. You can't have every match as work over the arm or someone's knocked out. They did that last week really, really well with the whole Christopher Daniels stuff.
Yeah.
This was amazing.
Yeah, and if you've got to think, if you're watching the show that's on before Dynamite starts and your TV is just still on and it goes to the next show, and then you see this, like, I don't know, man. Like, I think this might make people stick around to watch, because it was just 10, 15 minutes of non-stop action.
It was 15 minutes, yeah. That's
a long time to be doing spots.
10 to 15 minutes is pay-per-view length, I would argue. And they put on a pay-per-view level match.
Absolutely, here.
Should we try and go through this?
I want to give a shout-out to Cassidy doing the springboard crucifix bomb, which was just insane. Phoenix doing the double foot stomp, but a reverse double foot stomp off the top.
Yeah, so his back is to the center of the ring. He jumps backwards off of the top rope and lands on, I think it was Quinn.
It was Quinn,
Quinn took pretty much all the
punishment. He took a heck of a beating.
So what I took away from this match is, man, Pentagon is star power. He's charisma.
Isn't he just, yeah.
He's overall the best guy in this match.
Yeah.
But my God, Phoenix might actually be the best wrestler.
Yeah. No, totally.
Like, I'm talking top five, top 10, top five in the world. Phoenix is just seamless.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
We talked about this before on these shows, where because Pentagon is so captivating and he's got such star presence about us, you often forget how good Phoenix is. Mm. Because you see the Lucha Bros, you're like, oh my God, Pentagon. Because the way he's dressed and everything, you're like, oh my God, what an absolute star. And then when you watch the matches, you're like, holy heckins, we're totally overlooking Phoenix. He's something else.
Yeah.
He's ludicrously good.
I can't get over how good he is. There's this... I can't read back my own notes here. A lot of it is to the outside. I think yeah. every spot ends with to the outside.
I've got here, Quinn has an amazing comeback when he dodged Phoenix with a flip into the Cassidy hot tag.
I've got Phoenix... Oh, right, so this is where Phoenix did this, walking the ropes, but he like sprinted along the ropes and did the drop down to the second, up to the top, and then a moonsault to the outside. Just impeccable balance. The commentary again throughout the night was so nice to listen to. It's not the best commentary ever, but compared to some other companies,
bit of salty JR on the show.
I didn't get any of that.
I think people have said it was throughout the show. I didn't think it was massively. Just a lot of his. He likes, you know, legal tags.
Well, they're not holding
the tag ropes, things like that. But what I really appreciate about it is Tony Schiavone has got the attitude of essentially trying to explain. Like, I think that JR often will just present problems.
Yeah.
Whereas Tony Schiavone is like trying to present solutions. So like JR is like, they're not holding the tag ropes, they're not tagging in and out. And Tony Schiavone is like, well, they wrestle in Mexico where they have different rules. They're not sometimes it takes them a little while to get used to an American style. So he's there presenting a solution where JR is presenting a problem. And I think the only reason I wanted to bring that up is because this week's AEW Dark was done by Excalibur and Taz. And it was night and day
in terms
of the Dynamite presentation and what they were doing on that episode of Dark. It was fantastic.
Was it really?
It was so, so good. Excalibur's a brilliant leading commentator. Yeah. Taz is a fantastic color commentator. And Taz sounded like he was having the most fun. And it really helped the fact that the main event was the Young Bucks, Cody and Dustin versus Private Party and Strong Hearts. And it was the most house show main event you've ever seen. Like, including a spot where Dustin was doing power slams to everyone. But when it came to Cassidy, he got blown up.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, stop for a second, will you? so he can catch his breath. So Cassidy let him say, and he goes, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, come on then. Ducks a clothesline, power slam.
That's really
absolutely
good.
Fantastic
that
stuff.
That is so house show. the crowd was so, so into this. My favorite spot of this match, but somehow wasn't even my favorite spot of this whole show. There is something in the Dark Order match that just blew my mind. So Quinn gets Hurricane Rana'd by Phoenix off the top rope, I think. He somersaults out of that move and just using that momentum falls into the corner. Blind tag from Cassidy. Cassidy gets in and just like... But Phoenix never sees it because Phoenix landing off that Hurricane Rana is facing the camera away from that corner. The blind tag's been made. Just a beautiful piece of dramatic irony where that everyone else knows, oh, the hot tag's coming, but Phoenix is like, look at that cool move I just did. Like that was the perfect combination. And you say like there's no story. Well, not you, but that's a criticism. I was like, but I can find the story in that. I can find a narrative within a spot.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not Dostoevsky. It's this guy doesn't know that this thing's happening. But that's enough for me when it's this much fun.
Oh, and you know what I really loved as well is Phoenix hitting a gory bomb and a splash on both Private Party at the same time. Like, it's ludicrous. And then to finish this off, so Private Party hit Gin and Juice, and I thought, well, that's it. They're going through. But they hit it on Phoenix, who wasn't the legal man. And so you've got Cassidy pointing, saying, like, pin him now. But Quinn's like, he's not the legal man. So instead, they realize that Penta's up on the ropes. So they go to hit Gin and Juice on Penta. And they hit... So if you haven't seen AEW, the Gin and Juice is when they will do a top rope Hurricane Rana into a diving cutter. and they do the top rope Hurricane Rana, but Penta somehow reverses that into a Canadian destroyer.
I was insane.
Anyway, she was like, how?
Yeah, and then it's like, F the other person out of the ring. It was a huge Phoenix knee on Quinn. Yeah, Quinn again, of course. Arm break, he got his arm broken. Then he got stomped on with a pile driver. And then Phoenix, so quick, just dives outside, takes out Cassidy. And then that was it, that Pentagon got the win. And like, obviously Private Party shouldn't have won this tournament, but they have been made stars.
Their
out of this.
Stock has been raised.
And you know, there's that argument that the Bucks should be in this position, and you could have had that Bucks Lucha Bros match here. But we've had that three times already on pay-per-view. The Bucks are busy with Ortiz and Santana. It sets up like really legitimate contenders to the eventual champions. The further away we get from that Bucks loss, the more I'm like, it's the right decision.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree with you. I thought this was a fantastic opening match and just an incredible, incredible bit of tag team wrestling. I loved it.
Yeah, and spoiler for later on, SCU won their match against Dark Order. We'll review that later. But that means it's going to be SCU versus the Lucha Bros. Out of those two teams, love SCU. I said it last week. I think we're going to get the story of Sky or Kaz getting beaten up by the Lucha Bros. Mm-hmm. But Christopher Daniels makes his return, but he's still a little bit injured. It's a really valiant effort. He just can't do it in the end. Lucha Bros win, and rightfully so, because, yeah, the Bucks are the best tag team in the world. But my God, like, if you... the Lucha Bros are also the best tag team in the world. Like, you can legitimately claim your tag team, your champions are the world champions.
Yeah.
And that's so nice for a wrestling promotion that I'm into.
And this company has...
In a positive way.
This company has an incredible tag team roster. Oh. Like, you mentioned here, there were three really good tag team matches on this show. So that's six teams. And then you've got Jurassic Express. You've got just all of these other teams around that. And you've got various different combinations of people that can dive in and out. It's just, it feels so stacked. And everyone feels so legit. It makes me so excited for their tag team division going forward. And for me, it has to be the Lucha Brothers winning the tag titles. I really like how essentially this final was foreshadowed by the very first episode of AEW Dynamite, when you had that interaction, when they had a brawl up on the top of the ramp. They brawled up on the stage when they were being interviewed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not that we've forgotten about it. It's just that I think that the way the tournament's been structured, you almost feel like, I don't know who's going forward. Maybe it could be them. Maybe they'll save that for another time. But we are going to get that clash. We're going to get Lucha Brothers versus SCU next week. And I'm so excited for it.
Cannot wait.
Cannot wait.
But the reason you couldn't tell where they were going, even though in hindsight it's very, very obvious, it's because they ingeniously set up loads of red herrings of other tag teams feuding with each other who weren't in their bracket, essentially.
I didn't even mention Santana and Ortiz when I was listening to the great wrestlers they've got.
Hey, mate, the Rhodes Brothers.
Oh! Yes, please, mate.
Yeah.
And the Bucks.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Get out of here. Let's say thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. Thanks. Luke was on a train when he came up with this name. Derek Ayala.
Genuinely was. I was going up to the WrestleGate show. Raz the Man Reality.
Whoa, long time pledge hammer. It's pronounced like methamphetamines, Seth amphetamines.
It's weird that he chose the name to explain his own joke, because we pretty much got it. The Wonderwall, Brian Gallagher.
Sunshine.
Shane.
Leon Milsom, Murders.
I like it. English. I like it. New Kid on the Block, Ben Newcomb.
Yeah. The most average in the
world.
Barely average gaming.
Oh, lovely stuff. You cannot break the Joshua Huxholes.
Whoa, yes. The power couple, Stephen and Giovanna.
Look at them. See them up there? They're so beautiful.
They sent us the Firefly Funhouse box. Thank you.
The D. John Mustard.
Yeah. And finally, the life of Jordan Riley. Thank you ever so much, everybody. So, yeah, the Super Chats. Oblivious Carrie writes, best tag team in the world. Wait, Lucy's Bros exist.
Lucy's Bros?
Lucy's Bros. Is that a typo? Should it be Lucha Bros?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it has unfortunately been auto-corrected.
Matthew Shiel, Private Party are my favourite team in AEW. I can't wait to see them win the tag titles down the line. I was so into the near fall after the Shooting Star Press.
His Shooting Star Press.
It gets so much air.
Incredible amount of air.
Ryan Kester, I'm one of those that prefers more story and selling in my matches. The opener felt like an impressive fireworks display. Tons of fun to watch, but I would never say I was emotionally invested. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Not like a bad opinion.
No, absolutely not.
I feel like you got that elsewhere. That's the mark of a really good wrestling show for me, that you can have this style of match, this style of match, this style of match.
Yeah. I mean, I had an impressive... I shouldn't use the word impressive because that sounds a bit big-headed. Mm. Fireworks display at my wedding. It was one of my favourite moments of the entire night. There was a lot of story and substance elsewhere on that day. But I remember that fireworks display so vividly and it being one of the best moments of the entire evening.
You know, when that happened, my lady partner always brings this up. I was so hammered at your wedding.
Were you? You hit it so well.
Me and Laurie were just watching these amazing fireworks going, they're not all that. And my girlfriend always says, you were so nasty because those were really good fireworks and you were saying it so loudly. Where in my head, me and Laurie are just going, they're not that good. When we knew they were, so I always feel a bit bad.
Oh, it's okay.
And just one more on the other side of the tag division, the SCU Dark Order match from Tim Arndt. There were two tags in the Dark Order match that the ref didn't see, but let the match continue anyway. Yes, it did bother me, and yes, I am that pedantic.
It's JR commenting here. Tag rules. Why are we even bother having tag rules?
Wardlow's coming.
Wardlow is coming. Statler and Wardlow, they haven't forgotten about him.
He's coming. Coming hard by the looks of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is. He's looking ready to explode. He's coming that much.
He's been, you know, pumping it up.
Oh, yeah. Pumping it up.
Training.
Yeah. Working his way up to his eventual climax.
Mm-hmm.
On the main roster.
He's going to debut.
Yeah.
He's going to debut all over
AEW.
Yeah. So he's a big guy. It was just a little VT. This is the first we've seen of Wardlow.
Since All Out.
Since All Out, when they did that sort of He beat up some guys in a car park.
That final fight sequence that they did.
I thought that it was interesting there was no mention of what seemed to be his female manager in that clip. Mm. It was just him training at the gym. The guy's very physically impressive. And at the end it just says, hashtag Wardlow is coming. That made me laugh because I think Wardlow's a kind of silly name out of context at the moment. And it said coming. So... But, that you know, until I see him in the ring, I can't say anything.
And I did notice, actually, there was a guy in the front row who was wearing a Wardlow T-shirt. So I've not seen anything of him. I might check him out on the old YouTubes before I get there. But when I did see him on screen, my first thought was, like, you just couldn't get Brian Cage, could you?
They do need, like, that sort of spot in their roster is missing, like, the just the huge muscle guy.
Yeah.
So it's a smart move. Right, so SCU versus the Dark Order, the second semi-final match in the tag team tournament. And they do a recap of SCU and Christopher Daniels getting beaten up last week. And then, very smartly, they do a recap package of Dark Order, which was a lot more about just reintroducing them,
yeah.
I would say.
Because yeah, and the creepers and all that sort of gimmick, yeah.
The Dark Order act has not been a success on any of the pay-per-view matches. And I think AEW know that, and they haven't really showcased them on TV, but they've sort of booked themselves in a corner where they got this automatic buy into the semi-finals, just like the Librarians.
Yeah, and the Librarians have been... They were on AEW Dark this week, but they're not, they were getting quite good heel heat from what I can gather. And people have tweeted me saying, like, apparently the heat for Bates was so much that they couldn't hear what she was saying. Mm. But I'm not sure if it's like legit heel heat or just go away heat.
Yeah.
And I think with the Dark Order, a lot of times it feels like indifference, which is what we had it all out when they were facing Best Friends. And it's a shame because Super Smash Brothers were a very, very good team, and they are a very good team. And Stu Grayson is really, really good. And
he is.
I think to date, this is the best showing of the Dark Order in AEW. And I actually really, really enjoyed this match. And I went in not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah, I was surprised. But it took a while. The Minions, it's a cool idea. Like, if you said we're going to have... And, you know, the way the Minions create a throne for...
Evil Uno.
That's all cool. I just... And I understand how Grayson is also not a Lucha Mask guy. But something feels like they've just been thrown together. Which is weird because they haven't been.
No, because they've been tagging for years.
Yeah.
Like I think I've said this before, but I used to sign them all the time on EWR, the database wrestling booking promotion game, you know, 10, 15 years ago, because they were called the Super Smash Brothers and they were called Player Uno and Player Dos. And I'm like, well, that's cool. What a great gimmick that is. Of course I'm going to sign them.
Aubrey Edwards is the referee.
Your fave.
Someone
and mine.
Had a Aubrey Edwards
is my
sign.
Woman, is my
in
woman
the crowd.
Crush Wednesday.
I think she's amazing. I thought this. It's never that I was against female referees. I'd never seen them, you know, up until like the last couple of years. And I'd just been like, oh, it's a men's match. It's a male referee. They probably should try female referees, but I don't know how that's going to play out. Seeing Aubrey Edwards do it, I'm just like, there is no difference.
Yeah, I know.
Like, good referees are just good referees.
Yeah.
And she's a great referee. I think she's low-key my favorite character in AEW, surpassing Mullet Security Guy.
And I think she is AEW's best ref.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she should be their senior referee. They should start billing her as that.
Yeah, no, completely. Well, they've got Earl, haven't they?
Yeah, but... He's more than senior.
Yeah, it's too busy. You're selling stuff out back.
Pensioner referee. So yeah, I mean, a lot of my notes are on Aubrey Edwards being amazing. So I wasn't into this match initially. It was just a more standard tag team match where the heels worked over Scorpio Sky for a long time. There was a shrink screen ad break.
Yeah, the crowd weren't massively feeling this, and I'm not sure if that's just because there was no break between this match and the Private Party Lucha Brothers match. So I wasn't sure if it was just a bit of burnout. It's not even like there was a 5-minute rest period. It was almost like as soon as that match ended, 2 minutes later, this next match was starting. So maybe there was a bit of burnout, or it's just that the Dark Order gimmick is not connecting with AEW fans, so they weren't into that match in the same way they weren't for the All Out match that they had against Best Friends. But oddly, during this match, they suddenly got into it when Chris Jericho arrived.
Well, they got into Chris Jericho.
But that in turn, that heat heat transference transferred into the match. And then by the end of it, this the crowd were going nuts for this match, chanting, "This is awesome," because it got really, really good by the end.
And make no mistake about it, that was totally intentional. And it's incredible. Because with WWE, it's so often you just sit back and you go, well, they should have done this. They should have done that. And you start to think, well, I know loads about wrestling because I can book WWE better than WWE can, which I think pretty much anyone can at this point. And like very, very, very rarely
such a hater.
They'll do something where you're like, oh, that's really good. That's why you're in charge. But watching AEW and how they structured this match, because they knew that Dark Order, they know Dark Order isn't working. This was perfectly placed where that Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle come out through the crowd. They've got tickets. They walk up through the crowd to their private box and they just start drinking a little bit of the bubbly. Eating popcorn and throwing it out. All the crowd are watching them. But then they turn round and the guys in the ring must have known that's their cue to go freaking crazy.
Yeah.
And the last few minutes of this match were thrilling.
Including your favourite spot of the night.
My favourite spot of the night. I've never seen it. And I love it when you see things that just feel so fresh and can catch you by surprise. It's that spot that you've seen a million times. You whip someone into the corner. It was Grayson whipping Sky into the corner, I think. He runs over at Sky and hits a knee or something, immediately turns his back on him. And usually you run back into the opposite corner and do a run up to do that move again. But the guy follows you, so you don't know he's coming. You turn around and he gets you. Seen it a million times before. It's a good pacey little sequence. But instead of, so Sky's chasing him back. Instead of doing the usual, I'm into the corner, I'm going to run back at you move, Grayson just dives over the ring post in one fluid motion and takes out Kaz on the outside.
It was nuts.
And that just ramped everyone up a notch. And I was enjoying Grayson in this match anyway.
Yeah.
Evil Uno, I'm not particularly fussed about. I don't quite get him. But Grayson, I thought, was spectacular here.
He also had a great spot where he walked across the shoulders of three people into the Hurricane Rana. So he walked across the shoulders of Evil Uno and I think it was Scorpius Guy and Aubrey Edwards to hit a Hurricane Rana on Kazarian. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool inventive spot. And it felt like the sort of spot. Do you remember that there's that story that they tell from Jeff Hardy tells from WrestleMania when he tried to walk across the ladders? And he tried it like several times and it kept falling over. And he tried it like five times. I think he writes in his book, because I tried it five times and it never works. But I thought, I'll probably be all right on the night. And then they tried it on the show. It still didn't work. Whereas it felt like they tried this spot a couple of times and were like, yeah, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And they successfully did it. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I could do that.
I think Jeff thinks that every time he gets in the car.
Ooh.
You shouldn't DUI.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely okay. You're absolutely right.
So the crowd really got into that. Evil Uno got the pin while Edwards was
distracted. They actually essentially had the match won at one point, which actually protects Dark Order somewhat.
Really smart. Yeah, because Grayson did that dive over the ring post.
Yeah.
And that's what Edwards was looking at. And Evil Uno potentially had it won, but SCU got the win in the end.
With the SCU later.
Which is totally the right result.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. Yeah. Really, really chuffed to see this. I very much enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to, and I really did.
Mm. Yeah, really, really, really good. So after that, no let up. No, like, here's a promo thing. I saw someone say, I think we need more promos on Dynamite. I'm thinking, I'm really enjoying a lot of wrestling. And, you know, the balance being more in the wrestling favor than the promos.
Yeah.
Because we got one promo here, and it was excellent.
Yeah, we'll get to it, but holy hell, it was good.
But right after that, oh, here's Joey Janela versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah. So this is technically a rematch, although it's not technically a rematch because the match on AEW Dark last week was unsanctioned, so it's not recognized by AEW. But this was a match between Janela and Omega. It was actually, this wasn't originally advertised. Janela was meant to be on AEW Dark again, facing Jack Evans, I think, and instead it was end up being Jack Evans versus Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin. So instead we got this sort of impromptu Janela Omega match. And it was, it almost felt like this match was here to say, hey, do you know what? Joey Janela's not just a blood and guts wrestler.
Yeah.
He's not just that deathmatch dude. Look at all this great catch-as-catch-can wrestling that he can do. Yeah. And it was really, really fun.
Yeah, I really like this match. And it, again, because you've got the Inner Circle and Jericho still up in that box all the way through this, it's just another layer to everything. So the camera can cut back to them and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're up there. Will they interfere? It just heightens the tension somewhat.
I also really like them showing clips of Omega picking up the AAA championship. Because it almost instantly just made him feel like a worldwide star.
Yeah, that working relationship with AAA.
I just kind of wish he had the belt. Mm-hmm. Granted, you don't want to confuse people with having too many belts. So I see it from that side of things. But I really like the fact that they showed the clip of him winning.
Yeah, so it was a nice match. In fact, it was a very good match. But everything was so good on this show. Yeah. It just feels like, oh, this was just a normal TV match. There was a load of Snapdragons.
Yeah.
Love Omega's Snapdragon suplexes. Loads of V-triggers.
Oh, I love a V-trigger. Big German suplex as well.
It went into a really good strike exchange of like chop, block with a foot. And the crowd started chanting, "This is awesome," after that.
Yeah.
Really got the crowd into it.
The end, Janela misses a senton, but so Omega was on the ring apron. Janela tried a senton, but Omega moved out of the way. So we landed on the hardest part of the ring into a wicked V-trigger.
Yes.
Oh, clocked him right in the face. One winged angel for the win. Really, really nice setup for Kenny Omega. Right person to be putting over. He's got the big match coming up at Full Gear. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And that protects Janela, really, because he lost because of a mistake. He went to that hardcore well almost to hit the senton on an apron.
That was his undoing.
I really liked it. And the crowd went mad for that one-winged angel. Just shows how protected that move is. What I really liked about this, and I think this is the secret going forward, you know, we were talking last week about, well, what happens when there's loads of... That those win-loss records get
too high, yeah.
So you're like, in a couple of years' time, you got a 50-92 record.
Yeah.
It's gonna become weird. And here they said that Kenny has improved his 4-3 record, 1-4, no, lost 4, I think, 1-3, to a 500.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the baseball terminology.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. So you essentially just turn it into a fraction, basically.
Yeah, it's a fraction or a percentage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that's really smart, actually. That's a really, really smart way to turn it around.
Yeah, because then you just, like, it's always, over time, that number is going to become a real good indicator of their overall thing. That's how you do the records going forward, I think.
I didn't hear that, so that's actually really good.
And just Kenny immediately goes to the corner for the water. Just nice touches, makes it feel more sports-based.
And just to further put Kenny over, as if, you know, we're not the only people doing this, of course, but that man has got so much star presence about him. When he makes his entrance, he is treated by AEW fans like the second coming of The Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just feels like such a major deal. And he's one of my favorite wrestlers at the moment, because when he makes his entrance, I'm like, I can't wait to watch him wrestle. I just can't wait to see what he's going to do next. I think he's so great.
Yeah. So I just remember we didn't tell people earlier that the NXT... We did discuss it last week, but I think it might have been lost in all the schedule changes and sort of, you know, new babyface turn, hopefully, for WrestleTalk. The NXT Ramble is going to... NXT.
Old branding.
The long
Come
NXT
back to haunt you.
Review with Laurie and Pete is going to go up on Sunday, just because it's too much. It's too much for one day.
What we looked at is we looked at the numbers and the figures and feedback we had from people. And particularly this was evident last week, where it just got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
What we decided was that it would go up on the Sunday, because that also allows everyone to have watched it. Because when we do it on the Wednesday, or sorry, we do it on the Thursday rather, not everyone will have had the chance to see it because it's not available on the network or anything like that. I actually forgot about that. I went to go watch it on the network this morning.
It's not there, yeah.
And I turned to Pete and I was like, Pete, why is NXT not on the network? And he was like, think about it. I was like, oh yeah, of course. So we thought we'd move it to Wednesday. That gives everyone the chance to have caught up and watched it, and then Pete and Laurie they've actually recorded it already, and it's going to get posted up on Sunday. There's too many videos going up on the Thursday. We're in a learning process at the moment.
Yeah. And that's not to say it will stick like that. Like, if it doesn't work on a Sunday, we'll try and find another way to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
But at the moment, the Friday live episode is where the ratings are out and the the newsletter's out. So there's loads to talk about on that Friday live stream show with me and Luke usually. So, yes, it's we couldn't do Friday. Obviously, we can't do Saturday because
SmackDown.
So Sunday seemed like the best way. I'm just checking the chat to see how... people are reacting. A lot of people are like, oh, Sunday.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see. We're going to try it out. But like going by what's happened for the last few weeks, it just gets absolutely buried. And it's not fair on the people that want to see it. They didn't get a chance to catch up with everything.
They're also telling me now he is 4-3. He did have a 500 record. But still, yeah, I think percentages baseball style is the way to go.
Good update.
Look at the more Sunday too late. Sunday is fine. There we go. Because no one cares anyway.
That's harsh.
Sunday is good, someone said.
There you go.
It'll be up at 2 p.m. on Sunday, Pete's telling people.
Cheers, Pete.
Right, so let's get back to...
Because we've got a cracking angle to talk about here.
This was perfection. We say it every... Cody
is the biggest babyface in the planet. We've recorded our Wrestle Talk After Dark Patreon podcast, and someone asked us like, "Who's your favorite current wrestler?" I think it was from Evie Duran, and you said,
"I think it might be Cody."
Cody,
yeah,
the biggest babyface on the planet at the moment. He came out for a promo. Tony Schiavone's in ring to do this interview, and he's trying to make a big announcement, either about Full Gear or about their match at Full Gear. But he's being drowned out by... it's the Goose Run title Goose Game, just all this honking. And they cut back up, and it's the Inner Circle with their little air horns acting like complete dicks. And Cody, he sort of like goes to threaten them, and Jericho's just like, what are you going to do? You can't come up here. You can't come up here and fight me. Cody grabs the microphone, and he says, this isn't like the wrestling company we came from. I can step through this invisible... This isn't an invisible wall. I can just go up there and fight you right here, right now.
Yeah. Which was such a... I mean, I know people don't like AEW, even mentioning WWE. I thought this was a really good way of doing it. It did have more of an impact this way than if he didn't say it. Because if he just stepped through the ropes and starts to walk up there, and you're like, okay, that's cool. But because he framed it in a way of, no... We are a real living thing.
We're not breaking any fourth wall. Well, we are breaking the fourth wall.
Because that other company does run
the Denver Broncos.
That other company does run their promos as it, you know, completely scripted. They're just talking to the camera. And that's a huge criticism about it. Like the live audience is just there to provide noise, not something to actually be interacted with and entertained. Now, these days, I would argue. So when Cody made that reference, I thought it really, really positioned what's different about AEW in my head that I wouldn't have realized so much if he didn't say it. So I was fine with that. I see why people get frustrated with it, though.
No, I can as well. But Cody takes his jacket off and he goes to jump over the barricade. But Jericho quite rightly points out, dude, you're outnumbered. Like, what are you thinking coming up here for a fight? And then Dustin's music hits. Dustin and his Green Day Brain Stew ripoff music comes out, which I absolutely love, by the way. He comes out, and then I'm like, and then Jericho's like, cool, we got one other guy. You're still outnumbered 4-2.
Oh, sorry. Before that, Jericho called him an entitled millennial little bitch. Jericho was on fire.
He was so great in this. And so, he's like, you're still outnumbered 4-2. In my head, I'm like, okay, and here come the Young Bucks. No. MJF comes out because MJF is going to be in Cody's corner for Full Gear. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's very interesting. Then I'm like, who's the fourth person going to be?
Well, yeah,
who's the fourth man?
Well, can we just
whose side is he on?
Can we just say that when MJF came out, Jericho got on the mic and started saying, I'm supposed to be scared of a man wearing a scarf.
Who wears a scarf?
And of idiot. Course, if you weren't watching, Jericho's entire gimmick for about 8 months was about him wearing a scarf.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there going like, who's the fourth man? On the, all over the house, yo, it's me, it's D. I popped at home. Like I'm watching this, it's 6:30, you know, 6 a.m. I'm there in my dressing gown with my cup of tea. I almost jumped out of my seat.
I was so excited,
When DDP came out. Dude's in incredible shape.
It's and like it just, yoga.
And it just makes sense because he's always been part of that Nightmare family like setup. And he was in the video package last week when they were talking about Cody and his drive. So him being on their side was just like, awesome. And then the four of them just all get together. They charge up. I was so amped for this. And like little cowards, the Inner Circle got into their private booth, locked the door, and Jericho's just there holding up the title, going like, I'm the champ. I'm the champ. You can't get in here. And then as a nice bit of, sorry, I feel like I need to go on this one, but like, in almost a nice bit of sort of poetic symmetry with that Jericho line of who wears a scarf, MJF takes off his Burberry scarf, hands it to Cody. Cody wraps it around his fist and he punches through the glass window. Huge brawl breaks out between the Inner Circle and the good guys, spills out into the concourse. Cody slams Jericho into this ice cream vendor thing that apparently is a brand and they're going to get an AEW flavor from this now. And security bust out to break it all up. I thought this was absolutely awesome.
Yes. It was just everything was so well placed and thought out. That when MJF started taking off his scarf to give to Cody, that's like, that's so good.
Yeah. It's just so good.
I'm kind of at a loss for words, but it's such a nice detail. And it ties into the Jericho scarf line that ties in with Jericho's history. That's just also a cool badass moment for Cody to break through. It's an ingenious little spot. And you talk about the first match lacking story. In one gesture of handing over a scarf, it's not just someone handing over a scarf to give someone something to punch through a glass window with. There is 3 years of context around that action. I loved it. Might be the most effective angle AEW have ever done. Because even the Moxley debut, which was really, really exciting, like I found this more rewarding. As a sort of overall thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to whereas the Moxley debut was shock, cool. I'm quite, not superficial, but it was more up there. But this was a more complete emotional fulfillment.
I saw someone describe this on Twitter as it's the best booked heel versus babyface storyline of 2019. And it's all in the simplicity of it, is that Cody is the good guy, Jericho is the bad guy, and they are going to fight for this title. I didn't think, when they announced it, because they announced the match before they started doing all these angles, I was not really into the idea of Cody versus Jericho. I was like, nah, you know what? I've really enjoyed every Cody match in AEW. Like, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a match that got me excited. But with all of these angles, they have just done everything they possibly can to get me more and more and more and more excited for this. And it's now my most anticipated match on the card. A card, by the way, that has the Young Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz. Like, I can't wait to see that match. But holy hell, I'm so excited for Jericho Cody.
I'm sliding this proposition over.
Yeah.
DDP's going to have a match eventually.
Oh, yes.
Think so. Double or nothing. I think, you know, he's in great shape. The guy's really healthy. He can plan out a match. Great worker.
Yep.
You've got to think he's watching all of this and thinking, I got one more in me. And if I was ever going to do one more for Dusty's son, his promotion.
Yep.
I can feel it. When he came out, I just thought, he's going to have another match.
And it's interesting, there was a comment that really struck me from the four-minute review that I posted up that said, explain to me why DDP coming back as a legend is cool, but when WWE do it, it's bad. And my argument to that, or sort of my feelings on that, is that this didn't feel like it was done to pop a rating or just do a nostalgia pop. This is all within the context of Cody's Nightmare Family. Of course it's DDP. Like, really? We should have seen that it was going to be DDP because he's always around there. And so it just works within the context of the story.
Yeah, we never say that all legend returns are bad. In fact, they're very, very, very useful when used effectively and in the right place. But the other company doesn't often do that. Yeah. I can't... Goldberg worked magnificently.
That's a great example of it. Goldberg works so well.
Even this year, like 2019 Goldberg for that SummerSlam thing, like, was that the most effective use of a Goldberg return match? I'm talking both SummerSlam and Saudi Arabia.
Hey, Ziggler won the Raw Tag Team titles off the back of it.
I would say no. But that 2016-17 feud with Brock Lesnar, I think is a the sort of pantheon for how to do that.
Yeah.
This worked really well because, like you said, served the story. There was loads of context there. There's a reason for him being there. And at the end of it, DDP was a major factor. But I'm talking more about Cody than I am DDP.
Good point.
And you're using legends to enhance the people who are there all the time. That's the use for them.
Yeah.
Whereas the 20th anniversary shows, the reunion shows, it's just all about the legends. And no one really gets a rub.
Last bit of shout out to Jericho in terms of just how good he was in this segment. When Cody and his mates were walking up the walking up the stairs to fight them, Jericho shouts, "This is your last chance," to back away. And after he's been beaten up, he's on the floor still holding up his ticket. Or as if it was like this shield. It's just like, I can still be here. I've got my ticket.
He's an excellent champion. What an inspired choice. I mean, it always should have gone on him, but he is, again, he's reinvented himself again.
Yeah.
Just when you think, eh, might be past it. No.
No.
I'm gonna stop saying that now. I'm going to stop. Yeah, Jericho will never be past it. Just give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay. An amazing show so far. How can it possibly get better? You solve the frickin' Orange Cassidy problem. I love Orange Cassidy. Luke loves Orange Cassidy. I think we all love Orange Cassidy. But the wider mainstream audience, my lady partner, for instance, will like him initially because it's a fun, low-effort gimmick, but then they'll get tired of him. You can't have him really wrestle in matches and doing that. It undermines the rest of your product. I'm sitting here thinking, I love Orange Cassidy. How can you use him like this? And to be honest, I haven't thought of an answer. AEW did it here. He's a manager. He is a manager.
He's the third best friend.
Oh, he's a manager.
And he gets in. He stops the Bucks doing their poses, gives them his low effort super kicks. Oh my God, it was great. So good.
It's the perfect placement of him for him to do all his stuff that gets over huge. Doesn't undermine anything because everyone can just go, why are you doing that? It doesn't affect me. And it doesn't overexpose him.
Yeah.
This company.
This company. This was a really fun match. Yeah. It was Best Friends versus Young Bucks. Really, really fun stuff. Orange Cassidy gets to do his no hands dive as well while the referee was being distracted. It really feels like they're making an effort to do the, we need to distract the referee while we do these sorts of stuff.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Listening to the feedback that they've had from the previous episodes, it's a learning experience for them. So I've got no issues with that. They did the Stomp Reverse Tombstone, which Nick Jackson, I believe, broke up with a senton. Then Matt flips out of a double team move. Super Kick Party. They wipe out Trent and Cassidy. Double team move by the Bucks for the win. Fun stuff.
Yeah, really, really good. And then Matt gets the microphone, really simple, and just says, Santana, Ortiz, we accept for their match at Full Gear. One line, right? One line at the end of the match. There was no big elaborate promo segment. How much more effective is that than a tweet on social media?
So much more effective.
It's just... Oh.
And do you know what? I think
I love it.
And I think I've been conditioned as well. When they were running down the card for Full Gear, I was surprised that... and they called them LAX then. Santana and Ortiz versus Young Bucks was not mentioned. And I was like, it's really weird that they've not mentioned that. And that's because it had aired before. They'd accepted the challenge for it. I guess I'd just been conditioned to... It had already been announced. It had probably just been announced on social media and I'd missed
it. Yeah. After this, we got Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter.
Hayter, yeah.
Hayter. Who she does wrestle as Jamie Hayter elsewhere. I've seen her. She's British. She's yep. wrestled for Rev Pro and Eve and
yeah.
Well, I've seen her quite a few places actually. But she was against Britt Baker. Britt Baker is to me a bit one dimensional. I've got a, you know, she's a dentist. That's a big part of her gimmick.
She is.
I think something's pushing me away because I'm like, oh, but you're a professional athlete. Dentistry isn't like a hobby. So that implies dentistry, you spent all that time, like 6 years of school and then like doing the practice and everything. So wrestling was your side hobby.
Yeah, it's your side gig.
And you're not presented in that way. You're not presented like this person trying to live their dream. You're presented as like, no, you're one of the best wrestlers that we have in our division. And that's a bit of a disconnect for me.
I feel you. Mm. But this was hits because they were in Pittsburgh, which is Britt Baker's hometown.
Yes.
This was done to get the hometown pop. She was facing up against a heel, a mouthy heel she was.
Really good. Really like Jamie Hayter.
I thought she was absolutely fantastic in this match. And Britt won. My criticism of this match would have been, I think it probably should have been shorter. Mm-hmm. I think that the idea of this was to get like, hey, look, it's the Steelers' hideously monstrosity of a mascot that was just, oh, it was really, really awkward. But like, it got the big hometown pop, mm-hmm. and the hometown crowd were into everything she did. They did the yay boo spots and everything like that. This just needed to be 5 minutes. It didn't need to be a near 10-minute match with an ad break in the middle.
That might be AEW's biggest drawback at the moment, that they're making everyone look too good. Sometimes you do need to just go, this is the one we're pushing here.
But I loved the video package that Ed beforehand, where they really built her up to this hometown hero. Did you see that Adam Cole was featured in it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they were doing the photos of her like sports game stuff, just about the sports games that she goes to. And there's one of her in like her sports game gear, and then the second one was a photo of her with NXT champion Adam Cole. Adam Cole to AEW confirmed.
Last week we would have put that on a thumbnail.
And we would have made a 12-minute video, and that would have been the last 20 seconds of that video.
Oh, and this happened. We're changing for you. We're changing. News just in from Randy Andy Datsun, actually. I would argue the biggest.
This is actually, and this is why I got a little bit distracted when I was talking about the Steelers. I'm going to assume it's a Steelers mascot, because I saw what Randy was typing, and I got a little bit lost with what I was saying, but this is pretty big news.
Yeah, probably the biggest unsigned, well, she is signed, but the biggest unsigned to AEW or WWE or New Japan female wrestler in the world. She's extraordinary. She's like, you know, she's so good. She's fighting for the X Division title and Impact. Tessa Blanchard is reportedly done with Impact Wrestling. It's a huge loss for them.
And actually, that is surprising as well, because I think a lot of people, me in particular as well, and I go and buy the Wrestle League feedback that we had, everyone was predicting that Tessa was going to win the X Division Championship at Bound for Glory on Sunday. Sami Callihan was going to win the Impact World title from Brian Cage. Tessa would then cash that in as option C, and it would be Tessa versus Sami for the Impact World Championship, which would have been huge for them, especially as they've now on to Access, and there's a bit of like a real upswing for Impact at the moment in terms of momentum. And they've been a real big proponent at the moment of intergender wrestling, or Sami Callihan called it on the podcast interview we did. It's just wrestling. Like, I don't like using the term intergender wrestling. Mm. And it would have been a really, really big thing for them. And she was like one of their most pushed stars of this year. To lose her just at this point.
Yeah.
That's a real big blow. But you've got to imagine.
She's incredible.
You've got to imagine it. If that's true, that AEW are looking to get her. Because apparently Tennille Dashwood is, she's not working Impact Bound for Glory. So they're probably after her as well. And I think actually, I can't remember, I think it was
WWE are going to fork out big
bucks. Absolutely,
so
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she goes to WWE.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Britt Baker who said it after All Out that, expect to see Tennille Dashwood back in AEW. Mm-hmm. So we could see both of them jump over from Impact.
But her dad is in AEW.
Tully, yeah.
Maybe that's a connection.
Yeah.
We've got to
move
speed
on
because we've got 2K20 stuff to film after this. So yeah, after this, Jamie Hayter was just barely started an interview with Jen Decker backstage when Brandi Rhodes just jumped her from behind, turned around and just went
to Decker. Yeah. So it's the I'm not getting on with the Brandi character at the moment because she's such an evil heel in the women's division, but the biggest babyface when she's by Cody's side.
So I actually read this as a babyface act because Hayter is most definitely a heel.
Mm.
Apparently, they had a feud somewhere else.
Stardom, I think it was. Yeah. And actually, the intro, I wanted to mention, actually, the commentators really put over why this match between Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter was happening. It's that Hayter is Bea Priestley's partner in Stardom, which I thought was a really nice touch.
And interesting considering Bushiroad, New Japan's parent company, bought Stardom last week.
Mm.
Don't know what's going on with Brandi there. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Give them the benefit of the doubt. And the main event... Oh, it's only Mox versus Pac.
And do you know what? When Moxley, I talked about sort of that superstar presence that Omega has when he makes his entrance. Yeah. When Moxley makes his entrance, I'm like, dude's my favorite wrestler. Like, he's so, so good.
And his entrance is so good. His presentation, totally. And just the idea, the hint that he might cut a promo, I'm so personally excited about.
Yeah.
When the Bastard Pack interrupted that entrance with a chair, I was genuinely annoyed at Pac. I forgot this was all a work. I was like, you bloody bastard,
you
Pac.
Bastard.
Like, I was genuinely annoyed at Pac as a person. That's how effective this was booked.
And this actually led to a very fun story in the match, which was that Moxley can barely stand up, but he's refusing to medical attention. He just wants to have the fight. He's like, no, 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 I'm having this fight. And then he'll have this sort of flurry of offense, but then we'll sort of like try to steady himself, but can't. And that allows Pac again to take over. Really, really fun match. My only criticism I have of this match is that they announced that there's 5 minutes of TV time left remaining. And as soon as they announced that, the crowd very quickly worked out, oh, this is ending in a draw then.
Because you don't want to beat either guy.
Yeah. And I don't think it then helped that Justin Roberts was announcing every minute afterwards. Like going like 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. I think if you'd have done five and then done the 30 seconds, I think there actually would, the crowd might have been more into it. But I will say the crowd were, the crowd did actually at one point think we were going to get a finish to this match.
I liked it. I
certainly like the draw aspect of it.
I thought the crowd were into it too. I would disagree with you. Okay. So Justin Roberts counts down from five, really. Yeah, 4 minutes remaining, 3 minutes remaining, 2 minutes. I thought every time he did it, it heightened the tension. And I expected it to go to a draw, but I did not rule out the possibility of a last gasp 20 second to go win. And yeah, you're right. That's what happened. There was a missed black arrow off from Pac with 1 minute remaining. And when he does that 1 minute remaining, the whole crowd are like...
That's it. The 1 minute, I think, actually, yeah. So, yeah, to go back on my point, actually, the 1 minute was a really good call because the crowd were amped for that final minute.
But I think that I get what maybe 4-3-2 was overexposure. I personally really liked it. But then, yeah, Mox hits a DDT.
The paradigm like
such
shift,
a limp DDT. It was hardly, he didn't get him up at all because he was out on his feet. The crowd go nuts, but Mox cannot make the cover. He finally gets the arm round. Robert is counting down like 10, 9, 1, 2, kick out. And then it's a draw. And the crowd are like, boo. But I felt like they were booing the kayfabe authority as opposed to
the
promotion.
Absolutely, yeah, and completely, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was angry at. Oh, the rules we live in.
Exactly,
here.
But it makes me now want to see it on pay-per-view where we might not have to have that time limit against us.
Yeah, totally. Look, this is the way wrestling has always been done. You have these matches, you don't have clean finishes on TV, and you build to the clean finishes on pay-per-view. It makes you excited to see a fuller version of this match. Mox was out on his feet for all of this. I want to see a match where they're both raring to go. That's how you build wrestling matches and big marquee events. So for me, at least, that's what I subscribe to. So I thought this was really good, and the way they got a little pop at the end, so you're not going off with boos, was Mox was screaming, screw your time limits, just turns around, kicks the ref, DDT.
His selling of the draw was exceptional.
Yeah,
the way
really
he
liked
was
it.
Storming round the ring, desperate to get... I thought it was absolutely terrific. I thought it was a really, really cool finish. On the fight network, TV, there was some more stuff that wasn't shown on TNT, which was Pac was trying to pilmanize Moxley. Omega ran down to make the save. Hangman Page came down to get involved, and Hangman Page challenged Pac to a match at Full Gear. The match that was supposed to happen at Double or Nothing way back when.
Yeah.
Looks like it might be happening in November now.
It's like live shows actually matter.
Yeah, because they had the TV one on Dynamite, but that still felt like there was more to be had.
So I thought it was... I'm hesitant to say 5 out of 5. But you know what? 5 out of 5.
I gave it a super high awesome. AEW sim.
Yeah, a low 5 out of 5. Uh, So let's get into your super chats. We're going to go through these really quickly, though, because we're going to be streaming 2K20. WWE 2K20 continues.
Glitch
Don't
fest.
Worry, AEW fans. We're going to be making fun of it. If you go over to Screen Stalker's Twitch page, so the link should be in the chat somewhere or in the video description below. Laurie and Simon and Pete will be playing through that. We'll be popping in occasionally, like right after this. So open up that page in another tab now. Janella Omega on that subject. Simon Gagne. My God, Kenny killed Joey with that final V trigger.
Didn't he just?
It's brutal. Cody and the Inner Circle. Tim Arndt. Was Jericho's ticket rant a shot at fans who think just because they bought a ticket they can do whatever they want, or am I looking too far into it?
I think you're looking too far into it.
But that's, you know, levels that you can even think of that. Mm. It's the mark of a good story. Flint Mech. Last night's episode was filmed from the opposite side as normal, like NXT, which the live crowd probably didn't realise. Think this could have been set up for that invisible wall line. So is that a reference to the structure of the arena?
I think so, yeah. So previously the entrance ramp has been on the left-hand side of the hard cam, whereas this time the entrance ramp was on the right-hand side of the hard cam.
Huh. I mean, it doesn't really matter because you can film wherever the inner circle go. But yeah, potentially. Jobber JJJ, JJJJJ496. Honk, who wears a scarf? I have a ticket, bubbly.
Nice.
Yeah. Myth roll. I'm legit worried MJF turns on Cody at Full Gear. A-plus story. It'll be an A-plus story if they draw that out till May at the earliest.
I was going to say, what I'd like to see is Cody MJF at All Out 2. That's kind of where I'd like to see it. On the subject of Britt Baker and Brandy, what is the deal with Brandy on this episode? That's from Malabar Mabidipudi.
Yeah, we spoke about it a bit. It's got to be building off that Stardom feud. I didn't know that. I just found that out afterwards by reading online. It was a bit of a misfire.
On the subject of Pac versus Moxley, Jesse Venable says, I never got into the Dean character, but Jan Moxley is so freaking creative. I've loved Mox since the day he left that other company. Who's next?
I totally agree with the Mox stuff. Who is next?
Well, I think Dean's character in WWE was quite easy. He was wacky.
But in terms of...
got injections in his butt.
WWE stars next?
That's what I'm guessing, yeah. I mean, to be honest, at this point, with following that news, I'm more interested in Tessa Blanchard. Because I think AEW, if it needs improvement in some way, it's in its women's division. I think having one women's match per episode, I don't think is particularly great. But also, it doesn't feel like any of them are like at mega stardom level, like a lot of their men's division or their tag teams are.
Yeah. I'd say the Revival. I think in the next.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, let's go with that. AEW Miscellaneous, Swaff Daddy Johnny D says, who could go for longer, Greg Hamilton's best in the world or Justin Roberts? Jan! It's got to be Greg, right?
Yeah, it's easy, Greg.
Yeah. Ricardo Tavares says, hi guys, I'm a longtime fan of your channel all the way from Portugal. Hola. I love this week's episode of AEW. Do you think that Darby is the new Jeff Hardy?
We've had a lot of comparisons between those two. I totally see the similarities, although they're very different. But yeah, potentially.
Bobo Jacobo says, who's got the better tongue, Sammy Guevara or Demon Balor? Blah. I think you've got to have Ortiz in that conversation as well.
Well, we'll do a list video.
We'll get someone called Adam to host it. Flint Mech says, probably more so than Full Gear, I'm really excited for AEW's first Go Home TV episode. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it should be fire. So that'll be Friday, like the 6th of November.
Yeah.
You'll be away still.
I'll be away, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Sean Cartier says, odds that Marty debuts at Full Gear, turns on the Elite and joins the Inner Circle. Right now the Elite have more allies than Inner Circle, and he is the villain after all.
I would just have Marty debut. I don't know if his contract is up in November from what Meltzer's reported for Ring of Honor. Mm. But I don't know if it will allow him to get there for Full Gear,
which is early November.
Yeah. The 9th. But I would say just keep him as a normal, like an individual character. I don't think he has to be part of a faction.
Yeah. Valabar Mabidipudi, I do apologize for that, said Riho showed up in Stardom with their AEW Women's Championship.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't think that means anything. Stardom and New Japan aren't affiliated. They just have the same parent company.
Yeah. D-Pin says, are they not able to use Super Smash Brothers in AEW? Yeah, no, it should be a copyright thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nintendo will be hot on that. Okay, Kratos has Forgotten Son said, hey, buddies. I enjoyed Dynamite so much again last night. It was awesome. Anyway, just sending you guys happy vibes today. Enjoy. Hashtag WrestleTalk for life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
On the subject of WrestleTalk, Sean Turner, Ollie, Seth, and Ollie Vince, Wrestle Sketch, Burn It Down.
Oh, Burn It Down.
New Wrestle Sketch episode should be up next week. Sean Turner again. Can I get an Ollie, Seth, and Vince impression? Are they booing me, Vince? Okay. Are they booing me, Vince? No, Seth. They are saying Burn It Down. Are you saying Burn It Down?
Yeah.
It's hard to do Seth without saying the word John. First.
John.
Matthew Scheel, I just wanted to say how much I love Wrestle Talk.
Thank you so much, Matthew.
Love you too.
I also actually want to shout out to Sean for that excellent Simpsons reference.
Justin Edelheat, when will post Bound for Glory Wrestle League standings be posted?
Yesterday.
Yeah,
they were up yesterday, yeah.
There you go. Chris Ev 1989. Hi, Luke and Ollie. I'm glad that you are listening to your viewers. It was very big of you to accept the criticism head on. Much respect for that.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. You are genuine, sort of.
You are the authority.
You're the most important people for
Indeed.
Us.
Indeed.
Brian Higgins. AEW was brilliant this week. Brawl amazing. Great show as always, guys. Loving the return of the 4-minute reviews, by the way. Went down quite well. Long time viewer. Since quiet nervous of his own Ollie. Finally became a Patreon today.
Hey, welcome
Thank
aboard,
you, Brian. Jobber JJ496. Happy anniversary, Andy. I'll buy you a scarf. Bubbly.
Yeah, I think it was on the podcast we said that it's Andy's 1-year anniversary of joining here.
He tweeted it as well.
He did tweet it out, yeah.
Gary Pierce. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cheers to you, Gary.
With beer emojis. Ed, Liverpool United Football Club, 98. That's
probably Leeds United.
Liverpool United. I know footballs. I know football squads. Many thanks and respect to
You're
Ollie
such
and
a
the
good
Wrestle
actor.
Talk
I just
team
you.
For listening to us all. Love the returns of the Styles of Videos. Awesome channel. Much love.
Well, much love to you, Ed.
Lou Hart. Thank you very much. Robo Nowit. You guys are cool English.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Good to know.
Silk Toast. Mm. Please do NWA Power in under 4-minute reviews. We barely have enough time to do all the stuff we're making right now. So
yeah.
I'm afraid that won't be possible until there's a huge demand for it.
It's a fun show, though.
Ben Sneeringer. First time super chatter. Hey. I just joined and will catch up as I am pod swafter.
Pod swafters.
Lots of love. Take my money.
Thank you very much, Ben. What a good dude you are. More miscellaneous. This from Seth Amphetamine. He says, lovely time with the boys. Do you think we're not going to do that one because that's an NXT spoiler.
But to answer your question,
No.
Sean
Cardia says, a fun fact, Jen Decker is best friends with Lana.
Oh.
There's another headline for you tomorrow. Nathan the Alpha Wolf Vailer says, yes. Bradley Benson says 2K20 is a great example of WWE going into 2K20.
What does that mean? Oh, into 2020.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I need you to slightly fill for time for a second. So I need to go grab something. So.
Okay. Is this the podcast?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you say fill for time, you know that's where my mind goes blank. So I will talk about how Luke is just getting a box. He's got a box. This box arrived a couple of weeks ago. It's got a lot of, I don't know what the alphabet is, but it is an Eastern alphabet. I'm thinking China, Japan, Korea.
Yes, that is what I would assume as well. This is a package that has come in from... Hold on 1 second. Let me find the name.
Excellent.
This comes in from Robert. Sorry, I do apologize. Robert Alomar. So I've also messaged on the old Discord for Pete and Laurie to join us because I believe this is gifts for all of us.
Oh, wow.
What?
So Laurie and Pete have just walked in.
Oh, no.
Laurie is legit just pressing his weight on the neck I had just finished describing was pulled. Got a pulled muscle in my neck. That's why I'm walking like a robot.
You walk like a robot anyway.
I don't walk like a robot. I've got really good posture. You're confusing it.
Okay, right. So I'm nearly in. 1 second.
I hope this is wacky Korean stuff.
I really wish you'd message me about maybe 2 minutes later, because I'm just about to render out the podcast.
Okay.
But so, now it's not rendering.
Okay. So I'm going to give this one to Laurie because it's called Dear Marks. And then that's called. And then this one's for you.
Do you want to share a microphone, Laurie and Pete? Do you want to? Who wants to go first?
Laurie, do his one first.
Oh yeah, because this says real card.
Well, I wasn't going to give that game away.
Are we allowed to?
Oh, maybe you should chop it for Pete. That one. Yeah.
Let's get on to Pete.
It's a happy birthday card, so chances are probably mine. Let's be real.
Sorry, before you start, you know it's Dave Meltzer's 60th birthday today.
Is it really?
Ryan Alvarez forgot.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, sure Dave.
It's also the 1 year anniversary of Randy Andy Datsun joining the company.
What's more important?
This is actually addressed to Ollie and the others. So, it couldn't be for anyone to read.
Okay, I'll read it then. Sorry, let me grab this one.
Dear Ollie and the others, thanks for letting us steal your catchphrase. Have some free merch on us. You're welcome. The real Super Click Party.
Ooh, and then there's super
and then if you read that other letter as well,
this other one, it's not sealed. I seal all my envelopes with spit. I don't know about you. This is sealed with a little smiley face sticker.
It seems like
it's fun. From Hogwarts.
This says thank you on the card. Oh, isn't it always disappointing when you open a card and there's no money? Yeah, I always, even though I knew there was not going to be any in there, I was poised to get it.
We don't know that the post office didn't do this bit, so if you did send money, send it again.
There's even a bit in the inside for the money to go, that little slip bit. Anyway, okay. Hi guys, my name is Robert Alomar. I'm a 15-year-old veteran wrestler from Puerto Rico, currently wrestling in South Korea for a local promotion called Pro Wrestling Society, PWS, under my ring name, Adam Mayhem. Wow.
So he was the Going In Raw H champion.
Right, because I read 15, I thought he meant 15-year-old.
Right,
that changes the whole context. My manager, Trevor McEwen, ring name TK Drake, I think that says Drake, and I were looking for a name for our group in our home promotion and stumbled upon Super Click Party in one of your videos. The name seemed to fit us very well since all the members of the stable are heavily linked to social media, .. due to our endeavours outside of wrestling.
Mm.
What does that mean?
Sounds devious.
So we decided to, quote, borrow it. As a sign of good faith, since you came up with the name, it was actually Laurie, wasn't it? You came up with Superclick. We thought it was only right to send you all some free Superclick Party shirts Trevor designed that we hope you all like. Also, if you are interested, please check out PWS and Adam Mayhem on YouTube for some wrestling excitement. Yours truly, Robert and Trevor. And then they've got their social media there at the... at the Adam Mayhem and at TK_Drake on Instagram and Twitter.
So we have got t-shirts here. That is a medium.
I did.
That's another medium.
Okay. Are they all different?
And that's another medium.
They're all medium.
They're all medium.
They've got it right.
Yep, they are all mediums. Yep, that's okay. That's fine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. They've got that lovely new t-shirt smell.
Wow. Oh, it's pretty cool with a finger going over to the
quick button. I like it, mate.
Oh, that's rad.
Great reveal for an audio format.
That's so cool.
Very, very nice.
Describe it in words.
It says Super Click Party. The party is in a lovely shade of pink. There is a sort of a play button underneath it with a hand hovering over it as if it is clicking.
Like the Windows hand mouse pointer.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
That was a better description than I was expecting.
Well, thank you so much.
I could picture that in my head if I wasn't already holding it.
Adam and Trevor, that is excellent. So, yeah,
go find
those people up on the old social banks. And, check out the Super Click Party, which, will our lawyers be in touch?
Yeah, we're going to have to sue you. We would have waived it if you did put money in the card.
But, yeah.
Hey, cheap plug, seeing we're all in the room, Ring of Honor. tomorrow night.
That's right.
If you're around London, Luke's, of course, going over to Japan.
Yes.
But me, Laurie, Andy, and Pete, we're going to go to the Ring of Honor show in Bethnal Green in York Hall, and we're going to watch... We're actually going to have Dalton Castle and Matt Taven in the studio tomorrow. I'm nervous.
So are they doing the magazine show?
Yeah, well, they're coming in separately.
Okay.
If they're both here together, I might just get them both on set at the same time.
Get them both to do it, and then we can all take the afternoon off.
Yeah. Get them to run it.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah, just, yeah, that's a good point. I just set them up with a load of crap gimmicks and run away. Yeah.
I, when you texted us in the week that Dalton Castle was coming in on the Friday, I was, I'm not going to say the word furious because I'm going to Japan and that's very exciting, but I was gutted. Gutted that Dalton was coming in on the Friday.
There's still time to cancel your holiday. I mean, if you like to, I'll tell him. I'll tell him Luke's a really big fan of yours, but he's not a big enough fan to cancel his holiday to Japan.
I've just checked in as well, so it's a bit harder for me to cancel now.
No, it isn't.
Is it not?
No, I think you can rescind that really easily.
Turn up, mate.
Mm. Yeah.
Problem solved.
In
you action.
Money, though?
You've already spent it.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get it back, though.
Dalton Castle, though.
Is Dalton going to pay me the money?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay, fair enough then. In which case, then I won't be cancelling. I will still be heading to Japan. On that note, actually, I want to say thank you to Joshua Matthews. So Josh Matthews, of course, for getting in touch. He's just got back from Japan himself 10 days ago from a 3-week trip in which he travelled around, and he sent me some very, very handy hints and tips. So thank you very, very much. Thank you, Laurie and Pete, for dropping in.
Thanks, Laurie and Pete. See you later.
Get back to work.
Or you can see Laurie and Pete have a load of fun on 2K20 on Screenstalker's Twitch channel.
Indeed. Right, we have... I'll tell you what, I've got quite a few AEW-related emails, but I think I'm going to do a couple of Rusev Hayes.
Okay, we haven't had those for a while.
That's what I thought. Well, this is a Rusev maybe. this comes in from Edward, who says, hey guys, screw you, Blake Ham. I'm a long-time listener, and I fell out of love with wrestling after Shane won in Saudi Arabia, almost a year to the day. But ever since, I kept listening to you. You make my days delivering post in the New Forest very enjoyable. I've written in
what
the...
What a job.
I know, right? I've written in before a tale of Sami Zayn in Bournemouth and just how tall Titus O'Neil is. He's huge, by the way. But I'm writing mostly to thank you for your hard work and tell you a funny thing that happened this past weekend. Whilst enjoying a lovely stroll around Bath with my girlfriend, I spotted a slender, beardy, orange coat-wearing gentleman who instantly made my heart drop. It was WrestleTalk's very own Oliver Davis.
Shut up.
What are the chances? I was too nervous to come and talk to him and disturb him whilst he was doing where he was with his respective lady partner. Also, does she know about the wrestling thing? That would be an awkward conversation. Regardless, a mini Rusev maybe, if you will, and hopefully you enjoyed your time in Bath. Keep up the amazing word, Ed the Postie.
Whoa. Oh, you should have come and said hi. That would have been... People don't understand. That makes me look so cool.
My mum has said at times, she goes, whenever we go out, I'm always hoping that someone's going to recognize you. Because I think it's only happened with my wife once. And that was that drunken lad at Liverpool Street Station. They just pointed at me and went, WrestleTalk.
Nice.
Nice. It makes us look super duper cool in front of our family and friends. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't think I ever told you. We went to Plymouth earlier this year. Did I tell you this? It's where my lady partner went to uni. We went there before a friend's wedding. It was really nice. I've never been to Plymouth. And there is this restored Art Deco Lido. It's beautiful.
Love a Lido.
It was in complete disrepair for decades, but they've completely redone it. And it's gorgeous. Mm. And it's right on the beach. So it's like there is actually no beach. It's just, here's the Lido. Boom, sea. It's beautifully decorated. And because, you know, Plymouth is a sort of military place, you can see all the cool warships just docked around. There's helicopters going every now and again. Like, my girlfriend's like, oh, this is so lovely and peaceful. I'm like, look at the warships. Anyway, I'm there, and this guy comes over to me, dressed in a essentially NXT-era Bray Wyatt.
Wow. It was also like the Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, I think
vest.
That was just, it was a hot summer. That's his go-to look, which is an excellent look.
Excellent.
And, you know, he just decided in 2013, well, that's me, sort of.
Did he have a little pork pie hat?
He totally did. And he came over and he said, Ollie, I was like, oh my God. This was the last
place. It's Bray Wyatt.
So the last place, I thought. But yeah, that was definitely me. I was wearing an orange coat. But I was. There were periods of that trip where I was hangry.
There was
a good 2 hour stretch on the Saturday where I was a grumpy Ollie.
Oh mate, don't want to be a grumpy no, Ollie.
No. But I'm sure I would have been happy.
I think we may have to draw it to a close there. I'm gonna let is Pete doing the AEW reviews with you next week?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I'll be on this week's SmackDown episode, though.
Exciting.
Saturdays.
Is it you and Dave? Well,
it's me and Pete. Dave couldn't do this Saturday.
Okay, so it's you and Pete doing the SmackDown review. And then, because obviously, as we said, I'm going to be away as of tomorrow. So, you're not going to hear from me for about 2.5 weeks, I think, is how long I'm gone
for. Yeah, you're back on the 8th of November.
8th of November, indeed. So I am missing both Crown Jewel and Full Gear.
Yeah.
I'm not around to do the Full Gear show, and I'm back on that Monday afterwards. But Ollie, Pete, Laurie.
You are doing the Full Gear ramble, though.
Oh, is that we're doing that on the Monday, are we?
Yes.
Oh, in which case, then yeah, I'll be around to do that. That'll be my first task then on that, which is good because I was actually really looking forward to watching that show. So I'm actually, yeah. I'm pleased that I get
I'm
to...
I'm so hyped for it.
Yeah. But Laurie, Pete, Ollie and Dave will be filling in for the shows and they'll be covering everything. So no shows are going to be dropped. And in fact, as we said earlier, Dalton Castle will likely be on the show tomorrow, or Matt Taven. We don't know which order they're coming in yet. But yeah, expect to hear them on the Wrestle Magazine.
And
the
NXT podcast now goes out on Sundays.
It does indeed. Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the magazine show going out tomorrow, SmackDown on Saturday with Ollie and Pete, and then the NXT review with Laurie and Pete. And then we've got Monday, NXT, AEW, Raw, SmackDown, the gubbins next week. And Crown Jewel. Crown Jewel is next week.
Jesus.
It's next Thursday, in fact. But that is all from us. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.